Good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, July 26th, 2017. We are one day away from the official start of Green Bay Packers training camp. The Packers hit the field for the very first time Thursday morning, 8:15 Central Time, here in Green Bay. In just a few hours, Coach Mike McCarthy will give his season opening press conference inside the media auditorium at Lambeau Field. He'll meet with reporters for the first time really since the spring, since the end of minicamp, and I'm sure he will discuss a litany of things across all different parts of the team, and that's why I decided to structure today's podcast as essentially a Q&A. So I sent out a message on Twitter asking you guys what are some of the things you're interested in, so we'll go through some of the things that you sent in, we'll talk about them, and I'm sure it's some of the same stuff that Mike McCarthy will be asked about in just a few hours. And then tomorrow, Thursday morning, I will recap everything that Mike McCarthy said and get you ready for the very first practice of the 2017 Packers season. My name is Michael Cohen, and this is the Packers Podcast. We thank you guys for listening to our new format, which is daily podcasts every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday during training camp, keeping you updated on everything that happened the day before, from injuries to quotes to all the current events going on in Green Bay, at Lambeau Field, and out on the practice field. And once again, we'll be giving you updates every Monday through Friday. So be sure to subscribe, tune in, do whatever you have to do to listen to this podcast 5 times a week. Now, I will pull up Twitter here and take a look at some of the questions that you guys sent in. I got a bunch of responses, so I appreciate that. And I also appreciate a lot of the nice emails and messages I got throughout the day saying that you guys are enjoying the new format, listening to the new format, and are excited to hear how it plays out over the rest of camp. So I appreciate all of the kindness you guys have sent in my direction. All right, the first question I've got here comes from Zach Calvelli, and Zach wants to know, what is Kyler Fackrell's potential and upside? Well, this has to be one of the burning questions of training camp, right? I mean, you say goodbye to Julius Peppers, you know, you're one of your top three outside linebackers, and then you say goodbye to Dayton Jones, another one of your top four outside linebackers, and so you're left with two really, really good starters in Clay Matthews and Nick Perry. You know, if they're healthy, that's probably one of the best tandems in the league in terms of 3-4 starting outside linebackers. And so what is Kyler Fackrell's role in all this? Well, as I mentioned in a previous podcast, basically numbers 3 through 6 on the outside linebacker depth chart are totally up for grabs. And Kyler Fackrell was the 3rd round pick last year from Utah State. He's a tall guy, he's a lanky guy, and he's got some speed. And those are the reasons why he was drafted in the 3rd round. He's got really long arms, he's got good height for the position, and he has above average speed for the position that he used in college to turn the corner on left tackles and right tackles and pressure the quarterback. So what is his potential? Well, his potential is something similar to what I just said. This is a guy that is going to use his long arms, his long levers, to create separation from tackles. You know, he's got the ability to extend far enough where he can get hands on the offensive lineman before the offensive lineman can get hands on him, just because he has a longer reach. And if he can create that little bit of separation, he then has the athleticism and the speed to turn the corner and get to a quarterback. Now, the biggest question for Kyler Fackrell coming out of school were two things: strength, and then how much of a detriment is it going to be that he really is behind when it comes to the strength curve. This was a guy that was very open about the fact that he needs to get stronger from the minute he arrived in Green Bay last spring, the spring of 2016. And there's no question. You went through training camp last year, day after day, for those of you that were there and saw it. This was a guy that got pushed around constantly, and it almost looked like he didn't belong on the field for a little while. But as the season went on, he sort of got his feet under him, and he found some ways to do basically, you know, what he does best, which is find a way to get to the quarterback, despite the fact that when you look at him, it doesn't look like he should be that good of a pass rusher. I mean, he's got the physical tools in terms of the height and the long limbs, but he's really skinny, he's really wiry, and he just doesn't have the same kind of build at all that you see with Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Jayrone Elliott. He just doesn't look like those guys. But as the season went on, you know, and Bob McGinn noted this in his player grades at the end of the year, Fackrell just found a way to be around the ball. You know, it was a guy that forced a fumble, you know, got a sack here and there, and he was playing probably about 20 to 22 snaps a game by the end of the season. And that has a chance to rise all the way up into the 30s, maybe even the low 40s, depending on the style of game that's being played. So I think his potential is a guy that should step into the number three pass rushing role this year and has the ability to get you probably, I would say, between 4 and 6 sacks a season if he stays healthy, because he's got this weird, quirky style to him that takes a lot of offensive tackles by surprise. You know, he's just got a unique combination of skills that seemed to give people problems last year. And since he was hitting the weight room so much between the end of last season and now, I'm really interested to see how that helps his game, because if he can mix even a little bit of bull rushing into his game, which already has a ton of speed rushing, then, you know, there's some real potential there to be a very problematic rusher for certain tackles in this league. All right, what do we got next? The next question comes from, let's see, I got a bunch of good ones here, so I'm trying to choose what looks interesting here. Okay, this question comes from Scott Rip or Ripe. I don't know how to pronounce your last name. Sorry about that, Scott. And Scott wants to know, basically, if Dom Capers, the defensive coordinator, has anything new up his sleeve. So, for all of you guys that are fans of the Packers over the last 4, 5, 6 years, I'm sure you're familiar with the ongoing storyline that at some point in the season, everyone is going to get terribly fed up with Capers and they're going to demand that Mike McCarthy fire him. It's like an annual thing that happens in Green Bay, and it's going to keep happening for as long as the defense has leakage and spillage and implosions like they had last season. So, is Capers going to have any new wrinkles? Schematically, I doubt it, because this is a guy that's been in the league for decades. He has coached, he's been a head coach, he's been a defensive coordinator, he's been a position coach, so he knows what he wants to do, he knows what he wants to run, and he's going to run that scheme regardless. But if you consider different personnel a new wrinkle, then I think there's some potential for some interesting things this year, and I especially think that's possible at the inside linebacker position. So if you go back to last year, there were some times where Morgan Burnett, a starting safety, moved up and basically played like a small version of an inside linebacker. And what does that do? Well, it gives you more speed and quickness, because you've got a safety, a smaller player, playing a linebacker position that is traditionally guys with bigger bodies. But Burnett is more apt to covering tight ends and wide receivers and running backs, you know, in the slot or just in formations that have 3, 4, 5 receiving options, whereas a linebacker would be a little bit slower and more of a liability in coverage. And you saw with Burnett doing that a ton again in spring during OTAs and minicamp this season. Then you mix in rookie Josh Jones, who was the second pick that the Packers made in this year's draft. Another big safety with tons of speed and tons of athleticism. And from the very first day that he stepped foot in Green Bay, we saw him playing inside linebacker. So I think those are some wrinkles that Dom Capers has to play with. You know, he can move those guys to the inside linebacker position and give the defense a totally different look, especially against teams that want to pass the ball a lot. Because don't forget, you know, Morgan Burnett and Josh Jones are not that much bigger than Joe Thomas, who is their starting inside linebacker. You know, height-wise, they're essentially identical. And in terms of weight, you know, the weights on the Packers website are always completely inaccurate. You have to ask the players what they weigh, because things fluctuate so much and it just doesn't get changed a lot on the website. But I would guess that between Josh Jones and Joe Thomas, there's probably 7 to 10 pounds max. So you're talking about guys that aren't very different in size, and that can give the defense a whole new dimension, because speed-wise, you know, Burnett and Josh Jones are totally different players than Jake Ryan, Joe Thomas, and Blake Martinez, the three returning guys at inside linebacker. So schematically, probably not any new wrinkles, but personnel-wise, I think there's some options to move some guys around, and the most common place you'll see that is inside linebacker. Let's see. All right, this question comes from the Packers fan group in Germany. They send in a lot of submissions, and we appreciate them reading all the way in Europe. And the question is, what are the chances of all the Packers wide receivers making the roster other than the undrafted free agents? So let's go through it. Let's take a look at what we've got at the wide receiver position for the Packers, which, along with cornerback, is probably the most crowded position, you know, that there is right now. So going down the list here, of course, you have Davante Adams, who's essentially a lock to make the team. You have Jordy Nelson, who's essentially a lock to make the team. And then you have Randall Cobb. And I know that Cobb is or has become a point of contention among a lot of fans because he signed a fat 4-year, $40 million contract and now has had back-to-back disappointing seasons. I totally understand the frustration, and it's totally warranted, 100% warranted. But Mike McCarthy and the offensive coaches love Randall Cobb so much that I would be pretty shocked if he got cut unless he came out and was just an absolute disaster in training camp. And even then, I still think they might keep him on the roster because Mike McCarthy loves him so much. So those are your three locks. You've got Nelson, you've got Adams, and you've got Cobb. Now let's look at some of the other guys mixed in there. Geronimo Allison. So Geronimo Allison was the undrafted rookie from last year that came on really strong and added a new element to this receiving core late in the season because he has a different body type than just about everybody else. He's really tall, he's really lean, and he's got a really long stride, so he just looks like a different player than the other guys at the position. Now Allison is facing a 1-game suspension for a marijuana charge that wrapped up this summer in court, and that, I think, and this was pointed out by a fan on Twitter as well, I think it was a pretty astute statement, I think that can be a blessing in disguise for Ted Thompson, because if you are suspended, you do not count against the 53-man roster. So they can keep Geronimo Allison and also have 53 other guys, you know, and LaTroy Guyon's in the same boat. Guyon faces a suspension this year for performance-enhancing drugs, and that's another guy that won't count against the 53-man roster. So I think Allison is a lock to be around at week one, and I think that he's definitely going to be one of the guys that is kept by the Packers. But then after that first week, Ted Thompson would have to make a choice of whether or not to activate him, and at that point, you would have to create a roster spot. So I think that that is where things get interesting for Allison. If he has another really strong training camp, you can essentially label him a lock, I think, at this position. But because he's got that 1 week to sort of think about it a little bit longer, Ted Thompson has a choice to make. And you know, if some other young guys come out and really play tremendous football early on, especially the two guys that they drafted, and we'll get to those guys in a second, then Allison could be in a little bit more trouble. But I think he's fairly safe. All right, then you look at Trevor Davis, a wide receiver from last year, fifth-round pick. Davis, I think, is in a little bit of trouble. This is a guy that has the best speed of any receiver that they have. He's a tremendously fast player, but he's small, he's lean, and we saw last season some big issues with him that ultimately led to getting benched and not coming off the bench once he went there and was banished there after that terrible game against the Titans. He dropped a pass, he fumbled a punt return, and after that we basically never saw Trevor Davis for the rest of the season. I think that unless he establishes himself as the premier punt returner on this roster now that Micah Hyde is gone, or he shows that he can get open deep on a regular basis, I think Trevor Davis might be in a little bit of trouble. Not because he is an incapable football player, but because there is a logjam at the receiver position. Now, if you ask me right now, point blank, do I think Trevor Davis makes the team? I would probably say yes, but I think we're starting to get into the names of guys now that are going to have a little bit more trouble in terms of making the receiver the roster as pure receivers. Now let's talk about Jeff Janis. So Jeff Janis is a guy that is probably the best special teams player that the Packers have right now. He's an incredible gunner. He's an incredible guy on kickoff coverage, and he's their number one kick returner pretty much right now because Ty Montgomery, as the starting running back, is not going to be handling a ton of kickoff return duties, or if he did, it would be very surprising because you're just risking further injury. So Janis, I think, is probably pretty safe based on his special teams abilities, even though when it comes to receiver skills, which are his primary position, he probably lags behind just about all the guys that I mentioned. But, you know, we've seen every year dating back to Jarrett Bush, Demetri Goodson, you know, there is an opportunity for at least one pure special teams guy that is the best special teams guy they have year in and year out. And I think Janis has the opportunity to be that guy this year. Really quickly, we'll go through the two draft picks. You look at Malachi Dupree, the 7th-round pick, and D'Angelo Yancey, another third-day pick from Purdue. Very different players in terms of body type. You know, Dupree is listed at 6'2", 196, and Yancey is a huge body, 6'1", 220. I would guess that one of those guys makes the team, and then the Packers try and cut the other one and then sneak him onto the practice squad, which is something they've done in the past. So in order for that to happen, the Packers would have to cut this player, he would have to not be claimed on waivers, and then the Packers could re-sign him. And as everybody saw with Geronimo Allison last year, it doesn't happen often where an undrafted rookie gets cut and then gets claimed by somebody else. So the Packers would have a good chance probably at getting a day three draft pick through because there's not too much of a difference there. All right, we got time for maybe one or two more quick ones here. How does the versatility of the offense change with the plethora of wide receivers and tight ends? This comes from Anthony Katz. Another good question here. So basically, the fact that the Packers have three tight ends who are able to go out there and make plays, whether it's Richard Rodgers, Martellus Bennett, or Lance Kendricks, I think all three of those guys are going to have a role, honestly. You know, Bennett and Kendricks, are probably going to be your top two guys, and Bennett is one of the best blockers in the league, so you can anticipate him being the guy that lines up at the end of the line of scrimmage in a three-point stance and then does some blocking and receiving from there. Kendricks is a guy that I think you can probably see in the slot as well as maybe lining up in the backfield a little bit as kind of a fullback type deal that we've seen in recent years. And then Richard Rodgers, you know, I know that a lot of people rag on him for his lack of speed, quickness, athleticism, and for the most part that's warranted. He doesn't have those traits, but he has tremendous hands and the coaches keep talking about that. So I wonder if Richard Rodgers is going to be a valuable red zone guy because he also plays special teams, so he gives you something there that sort of validates his presence on the roster. But if you've got a big body that has basketball experience, and don't forget, Richard Rodgers was a tremendous high school basketball player. And I think it was last summer he posted a video on Instagram of himself doing a windmill dunk and made it look really, really easy. So the guy might not necessarily have a ton of football athleticism, but he does have some athleticism. So you take a guy with a big body, the ability to box people out from his basketball days, and a really good set of hands, I wonder if he becomes, you know, a decent red zone threat where he probably doesn't have a lot of receiving yards, but maybe he gets you five or six touchdowns over the course of the season. That wouldn't surprise me at all. And then the plethora of receivers, we touched on it just a couple minutes ago, but basically what it does is it allows Mike McCarthy to break out of the 11 personnel that he used for so many years, which is one running back, one tight end, and three receivers. And now we're going to probably see a lot more exotic looks with three receivers, four receivers, guys changing from one side of the formation to the other, bunches of receivers, isolating one guy and then having triplets on the other side. So there's just a lot more Mike McCarthy can do now that he has a number of capable guys at the skill positions. And I'll take one more really quick one here before we finish up. The running game. Which of these rookie running backs will earn a role in the offense? Well, this is a popular question. The Packers drafted three running backs. They drafted Jamal Williams from BYU, who was the first running back that they chose. Then they took Aaron Jones. Then they took Devontae Mays. So again, this is a situation where all three of those guys I don't think are going to make the team, and I bet the Packers would love to sneak one of those guys through on the practice squad. I haven't seen a whole lot of Mays, so I don't have a concrete opinion on him, but I think Jamal Williams is the guy that they would love to complement Ty Montgomery. And then Aaron Jones, I really like his burst through the line of scrimmage. I know I've said this before, but I think his first couple steps are really impressive, and I think he's also got potential to be a decent receiver out of the backfield. So I think there could be distinct roles for three running backs this year. And then of course you have Aaron Ripkowski as well, who showed he's capable of carrying the football. But if all three rookie running backs made the roster, I would be a little surprised, just like I would be a little surprised if both rookie wide receivers make the roster. Again, not because they're not capable of playing, but because it's just a numbers game, and I don't necessarily think that, you know, keeping seven wide receivers like they did last year is likely, because they have, you know, an additional tight end they're going to keep this year with, you know, either Kendricks or Bennett, whichever guy you want to call the extra guy. And then, of course, the running back position, I think they're probably going to keep an extra guy there. I'd be surprised if they go into the season with just two like they did last year with Lacy and Starks. So we'll have to see how everything plays out, but I think it's a safe bet that one of the rookie running backs will probably be in trouble and on the wrong side of the roster when it comes to final cuts. And then you could maybe argue the same thing with one of the wide receivers that the Packers drafted this year. So that's all the time we have for today, the Wednesday version of the podcast. Again, Coach Mike McCarthy has his season opening press conference in a couple of hours. So tomorrow's podcast, the Thursday edition, will focus a lot on that. And then practice begins, so we'll have some real football to talk about. I thank you guys for sticking with me through the first 4 days here of non-football football podcasts. And I promise, pretty soon we're going to get to the good stuff. So keep tuning in, keep listening, and I will talk to you tomorrow. So many days you've been